encourage people, help you when you're down and out, things going wrong. I enjoy good music, good singing. I care nothing about this modern stuff. That's for old people. But I like something I don't understand a little bit, something that will help me along the way. I appreciate Kevin, you inviting me back tonight. Went by and saw Brother Donald and Sister Desi. I was thinking about it. We went by last week one day and sat down and talked with him a long time. And he was telling me all about the situation, problems and all. And we both knew that it all in God's hand. They know it. We know it. And we don't know what will happen to us along the way. But I'll say one thing for sure. God knows how to handle us. Right. He knows how to do with us many times what we don't want done, but he knows how to do it. Pray for them, if you will, please. They were taking it mighty well. Of course, you know, some folks can hide things better than others, but that would hurt anybody that's got any feelings whatsoever. Some of you have experienced things either close to that or some way or another. You understand it. Well, thank you for coming. And tonight I want to give you a little something extra or preach to you a little something extra tonight. And you probably have heard it and know about it and everything else about a man called Gideon. And he's one of my favorite characters in the Bible because we can relate. And I can understand some of his so-called reasoning and wonders about why God would ask him and choose him to do something. That song that the sister sang just now, and then that song that we sang in the songbook, Our Best. I always tell my wife, you've never done your best. If you had, you wouldn't have married me. I've never done my best either. But God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, and that he does. He does, and that you do minister to his saints. I quote that to the workers over at the nursing home just about every time I go over and preach. And it seems to encourage them to know that God does have a record, and he knows exactly whether we mind or not. Now, I don't have to keep a record of my kids growing up. I knew they didn't mind. And they knew what would happen if they didn't, but they'd go ahead and not mind anyway. You ever had any kids like that? You ever seen it that way? Well, may the Lord bless you if you haven't. But that's our nature that we have in us that's geared against God. And we don't want to do a lot of things. And what I see in this tonight is if God asked you to do something, are you brave enough to tackle it? Would you say, yes, with your help, Lord, I'll try it? Or would you back down and say, I just can't do that? Well, be honest about it now, because God knows. And if you're a child of his, if you've been saved, there'll be times in your life that God is going to ask you for things, to do things, and you're going to wonder why. Why me, Lord? And when we read a little bit of this, think with me about it. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming tonight to direct to thy throne of grace, knowing, Lord, that you promised us in your word, if we delight in thee, to live for thee, that you'll hear our word. And we know and are told in your precious word, if we know you hear our word, then you'll answer our prayers. Thank you for that promise. Now, Lord, as many times we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to ask for. We don't know your will in certain matters. But, Lord, we depend upon you to keep us in line, keep us clear, and help us. Bless these ones tonight that have come this way. Whatever need they may have in their life, would you speak to them and draw them near and help them. One here tonight not saved, would you convince them that need of Christ, and Lord, save them if thou will. Bless Brother Donald. And Sister Destin, tonight, again, we pray and lift them up to you for the help and strength that they need in this hour. Bless the church now in this community. May it be a shining light to reach out to see, for folks to see that Christ, his work, and his people are doing what you called to do as best as we know how. I plead the shed blood of Jesus again tonight and the power that's in the name of Jesus against the demon of hell. Again, make this place off limits. May they not hinder us, rob us of a thought or anything, Lord. And whatever you do, to thee be all the glory and honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. In Judges chapter number 6, this is where our story is found tonight. I want to read just a few verses in it, and we'll read some more one at a time, then just tell you the story about it a little bit. I preached this one night over at Shannon, and there was a man come in there that I'd never seen before. And I spoke to him, and he said he was of the Gideons. And it's sort of humorous to me, and I said, hello, thank you. I didn't invite him to preach because I didn't know anything about him. But he sat down on the back, real dressed up fella, you know, and he said that he was worked with the Gideons to leave Bibles at different places. And I recognized that and was familiar with that a little bit. And so I just got up and preached what I'll probably be preaching to you tonight, close to it. And I got through. He tickled me, and I shook hands with him when he came out. He looked at me and said, did you just preach that off the wall? I didn't know exactly what he was talking about there, but I said, no, sir. I said, I preached it because I feel like I read it. I didn't read it. I just read what God said and tried to relate that to you. He had a pencil and paper all the way through that thing, and he was keeping notes. I didn't know if I'd get a warrant to arrest or what, but I enjoyed it myself. Maybe God will say something to all of us tonight through his word. That's what we're looking for. Bible says in Judges chapter number 6, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, would you just listen to that statement right there? That's the reason for this whole chapter here. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. I want to ramble just a minute here. I won't keep you too long tonight unless the Lord gets in it. I wish he'd hold us to midnight. But somebody's asked me, I don't know where America is headed. I just don't know. They say the Bible doesn't say anything about America and where we're going. Well, it says something about it that's just not plain and all of that. And I'm going to tell you where America's headed according to the Word of God. The Bible says in the 9th chapter of the book of Psalms that every individual and the nation that forgets God is headed for hell, will be pushed right off into hell. Now, where's our country headed tonight? What's all this vulgar stuff on television and nobody can get rid of it? Well, what's this stuff here about the homos and all of that bunch that just can get up and say what they want to do and nobody can bother them. They'll get arrested if they do. But they can jump up and talk about you and me as Christians and say what they want to, and the people will cheer them for it. Where are we headed? We're headed in the direction where God is not there and not pleased with, if you'll accept what I say. So what he's going to do for Israel here and has done, he tells them right off in the first verse that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, all of us make mistakes and all of us do wrong from time to time, but I thank God that the Holy Spirit living in here that tells us that we need to correct that, need forgiveness of that, and need to change that. And he has the power to get you to do that. If you want to know the truth, he may take a while, or he might wait a while, but he'll do it. Now, he says, And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. What did God do for Israel? Because of their evil, turned them over to their biggest enemy here. And verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in their mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come into Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. And for they came with their cattle, their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, and they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Now, you can read the rest of that, if you will, anytime you wish, if you find something there that will relate to you. But here is the nation of Israel. Here are the ones that were called out as a special nation, a special people by God himself. Now, you can read in the Old Testament what God did for them and all the way through, how he blessed them and gave them promise that they would just do right and live right. There was no limit, so to speak, for what God could do for these people. But they turned the wrong way, and God now, he said that the people of Midian were against Israel. And then there was the Amalekites that were against them, and they had to hide in the caves and take whatever wheat they had in a place to prepare to eat, and all like that. And finally, the Midianites and the Amalekites began to take it away from them. And that's the only way they could have any food, is to take it and hide it someplace. Now, God has made them a promise that he's going to help them with that. He made them suffer for it, and he punished them for their wrong, but he's going to help them. I'm glad that God is a God of mercy. I've done wrong in my life as a child of God, and I wish that I'd made a lot of different choices and decisions in life and all of that, but I'm glad that God did forgive me and did help me and give me enough wisdom, so to speak, to know that I don't want to do some things again that I've been guilty of in the past. And so God told these. Now, he chose a man named Gideon, I'm sorry, here, to be his man. And that's what I want us to concentrate on. See, God has a right to choose from his own what he wants done. Now, sometimes we wonder why he chooses some people that we see and watch. But evidently God does, and he has a right to do it. Now, I want to introduce you here to this, at what I'm trying to get to the message in. That was the introduction. You see, in verses 11 and 12, I hadn't read all of that. We'll notice some of it as we go along. God speaks through his messenger. In verse 11, verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, God shows Gideon what he knows. I want you to get this clear. Gideon always looked at himself as a weak person, not able to do anything much, and not able to go in the way and be a fighter or someone to take problems on himself to help everybody else. He looked at himself, no doubt, as one with an inferiority complex, and that's the way he was. But that's not the way God looked at him, you see. God looked at him in this way and called him a mighty man of valor. Now, the word valor means courage. He's brave in everything. Now, don't you know that Gideon wondered who he was talking to? Now, that man, he thought in his mind, Lord, you got the wrong man. You're looking at somebody else. I don't fit that description. Well, look at verse 15 now and Gideon's admission of weakness here. And Gideon said oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And you've chosen me to do something that it seems impossible. I'm one man to lead people, over 120,000 people that's our enemy. And you expect me to take charge of an army? I'm not a general. I'm not a captain. I'm just a buck private in your army. Well, you say he didn't say that. Well, I don't know what all he said, but he looked like he did give in to the fact that he was admitting that he couldn't do it. And so this is what God is saying to him, and this is what Gideon is saying back to God. Well, I like to read that because we've been along that line. When God called me to preach, I wanted to preach, and I had that desire when the Lord saved me, and I started asking questions to the preacher that I knew real interested in and had a lot of thought with him. And I wanted his answer to the question. But there's one answer he gave me when I asked him, what can I do about preaching? He said this, and I thought it was sort of a little sarcastic. He said, if you can do anything else and be happy, do it. I went to another preacher, a little up-de-up, you know. I said, well, he's got a good set of education, and he's flying high, and now let me ask him. And I ran across him one day, and I asked him, I want to preach, but I'm afraid to preach, and I don't know. I know God called me, but I just can't do that. I just don't have it in me. I don't know enough. I don't understand enough. What can I do? He said the same thing. If you can do anything else and be happy, don't do it. I didn't try to do anything else. I was already working on a job. I thought that was enough. But I found out I couldn't be happy. And I couldn't have peace until I said, yes, Lord, I'll try it. And I thank God that he led me to do it. So here is a man. You see, what God sees in a person, we don't see all the time. I don't know if you have trouble or not. There's some folks think they're giants and they're better than everybody else, you know. And they can do everything better. Well, you better be careful before you think that. God's got a way of putting you in the boiling point, and God's got a way of melting your pride. And that's what he's done to a lot of people. He put you down to where you see you're not as good as you thought you were, not as great as you think you are. But God says that he looks at us with the potential in there and with something in here that he put in here to help us to do what he called us to do. Now, he was hiding from the enemy in verse 11 here, old Gideon was. And then he was hearing a strange message. Well, I got a verse of scripture I want to read to you. A strange message. I've heard some strange messages in my lifetime as trying to serve the Lord. But I want you to listen to this. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter or somewhere here. Let me see if I can find it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Listen to this. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, or not many noble are called. Now that's strange. It looks like if God wanted something done, he would pick out somebody that had experience, you know, and somebody that was qualified and able, maybe physically and mentally and even spiritually, to do what he wanted. As Paul said, I heard a strange voice. So did Gideon hear. Who's talking to me? Who is this telling me what God wants me to do? Well, it was an angel that God sent, and it was God speaking through that angel to Gideon here to tell him. Now, Gideon wanted a sign. I guess most of us would like to have a good sign to make sure it was the Lord telling us. He got a good sign there about eating, good about eating the food. But the sign we're familiar with is the one when God said to Gideon, I'm going to give you a sign. Gideon said, would you do it this way? Would you get wet some fleece and lay it on the ground and let the ground be dry and the fleece wet? God said, yeah, I'll do that. And Gideon said, if that be so, I'll know that it's you. Well, he did that, but Gideon wasn't satisfied. He said, let's do it the other way. Let's lay the fleece down dry and then let it be water all around it. It wet. And God did that. And Gideon said, I believe that's it. Then he knew what he ought to do. I want to give you about three or four things here, and we'll go to the house. First of all, I want you to see his call. Would you listen to these words as I read them, please? You may be there sometime. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told of us, saying, etc., etc.? In other words, Gideon said, Lord, if you're calling me and if you want me to do this, and Lord, I need all the help, and I've got the Lord to do it for you. But he said, why? God, if you're showing me something, why has our people failed in the past? He remembers when God picked Israel up, they were slaves down in Egypt. When God sent Moses down there to deliver them and brought them out of the land of misery there across the Red Sea and carried them over in the wilderness and would have carried them to their home they were looking for in a few days. But again, there was a group of the people in Israel did not believe God, and God sent them off and caused his others to stay in the wilderness some 40 years. He didn't do them like the people wanted done. Now, if God treated Israel, and they thought that was mistreatment like that, why do you want me to promise Israel here then that you will lead them to a better place? Well, God told him what he wanted them to do. That was his call. Why me, Lord? You've been up against anything like that? Why me, Lord? Somebody wrote a song, I think, some time ago called Why Me, Lord. I've got a sermon called Why Me, Lord, and God has helped me with it to see that it wasn't me to get the glory, it was him, thank God, and he deserved it all, and so that's the way it is. So that's his call there. Then I want you to notice his commission here in verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Now here it is again, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And God said, go in your might. Gideon had done said, I don't have any might. I don't have any way to go. No method, no money in essence. And why me, Lord? Why should I go when I can't do a thing? Let me say again, God knows more about you than you know about yourself. And God knows who to send and who not to send. And I don't know where the Lord may put you this time next week if you're a child of God. You just better be careful when he tells you something and moves in your heart and impresses you about something. You just better be careful that you're not resisting that. Be careful about it, because God looks on the inside. You see, that's his commission there. Verse 15, he says, and he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? My family is poor. I done read that once. And God did call me when my family was poor, down and out. But I at that time, I done served my time in the army, and all it was over. But I still had a mom and a daddy along about then that I knew that I had a right to help them. And so how was I going to help them if I couldn't be with them? How was I going to help them in all of that? And so the Lord said, by his might, your might, I'll see to it that you make it all right. Thank God for that. Then I want you to notice his companion here. Verse number 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianite as one man. Oh, think about that. Things are getting better now. God had said to Gideon, now I know you're not able and your own thinking and all like that, but you just leave it to me now. I'll take care. I'll smite the enemy. I'll do it for you. You just go with me, and I'm going to use you and work through you, and you'll see at the end of it what how he did. Now, there's a verse of scripture found in verse 34. I want you to read this, if you will, with me. Chapter 6 and verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Ebenezer was gathered after him. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, you know what that shows me? Do you know that God clothed, that allowed Gideon to clothe himself? You say, what do you mean by that? Let me ask you a question. Don't hold up your hand. Are you saved tonight? Did you know, and are you sure that you heard it right? When you got saved, instantly, the Holy Spirit of God came inside you to live with you, to guide, comfort, console, and counsel you along your way. Many times when I had the tough ears and didn't have money to buy groceries and money to do this and that and no way to get along and things were down and all I felt about like Gideon did back then, I feel like now. And what happened? When I didn't know how, the Holy Spirit did and come and showed me how. Showed me how to get out of the rut, so to speak. Showed me which direction to go. Showed me what to do and how to use what he gave me. What happened? The Holy Spirit living in me, Bruce, means I have clothed him. Not with these garments, but with myself. He lives inside you. Did you know that God is clothed by you? Now, what does that mean? This, he's showing a picture. If God is going to give all the might and the need to Gideon that he needs to do what God told him to, God is going to work inside him, help him, strengthen him, and make sure that he has what he's needed to do what God called him to do. It's like this. I could pull this coat off right here and say, like this coat, symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. And when I pull this coat off, I'm quenching the Spirit, I'm grieving the Spirit, I'm saying to myself, I don't think I need you today, but you do. So I think I'll just keep the coat on and feel like that the Lord's helping me. Honey, child, I can't preach, I know that. Boy, I don't even try to compare myself with preachers. I'd be down all night if I did. But I'll tell you one thing. Whatever God wants me to do, I want him to be pleased. And I certainly need his help. I can't do it without him. And so, you see, God said to Gideon, I'm going to help you. Oh, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the might. I'm going to give you what you need. And he clothed himself with Gideon. And Gideon was the one that blessed him. And so, you see then after that, his consolation. Now, when Gideon realized that, and when God convinced him of who he could be and what he would use him for, and also how he would be helping his own family to survive, then he was consoled. Look at verses 22 and 23. God said, and when Gideon received that, he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I've seen an angel of the Lord face to face, and the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. You're not going to die, Gideon. I'm seeing you through all of this. Don't worry. The old saying is that we used as boys, it'll come out wash day. And you put your problems and troubles and look at them all you want to. You may not be able to handle them, but it'll come out wash day. Because the Lord is coming back after you. And all this other stuff will be done away. And you'll have what we talked about this morning, consolation. I could read verses 12 through 14 and chapter 7. I don't want to take that much time. I know you'll get restless with me. But Gideon had a need. Because you see, God told him choose out an army. I may miss these figures here. You can correct me on that. I think it was 32,000 that God gave him. And God told Gideon to put them to a test. He put them to a test and got down to 10,000. And the rest of them weren't usable. They just wasn't ready to go. Didn't know what it was all about and all. And God's will anyway was for Gideon to depend upon the Lord. And when he got it all the way down, and you know the test that was taken, but the dog drinking like a dog drank water and all of that, it came to this. There were 300 people, 300 soldiers left to fight 120,000 people or more. The odds were against them. I'm going to tell you something. The odds, as we call it, are against you as a child of God. If you don't believe it, watch the little television. Don't tell them I told you to turn it on. But I'm going to tell you, it's corrupt. It's an awful world to live in today. The world is against you as a child of God. They don't want to hear his name. They don't want the name of Jesus spoken. And if they talk about a God, they want it to be one of these, what do you call it out here, that is no God. But God wants you to know who he is. And so he took that 300 now, and he took them and told them, and give them a vessel. I want you to think about this. Gave them a vessel now and put a lamp in it. And he said, don't break it. Don't break this thing. And he said, I want you to go around the top of the hills there, the mountain, this side and on this side where the Midianites and Amalekites are camping down in the valley. And Gideon said, when you get settled down, all of a sudden, I want you to light the lights, but don't take the lid off. I don't know what they did about oxygen. I'm talking about the lamps, but they made it. They had them lit. And when Gideon said, when I give you the command, I want you to break those vessels. So the light will shine all over the top of this mountain. And you'll see what will happen. And when they got to the top, Gideon gave the command. And they broke the vessels all of a sudden, and the light appeared all over the mountain. And the Midianites got so afraid, they began to run, and many killed themselves as a result of it. And when they got through, Gideon saw that it was so simple, no doubt he was ashamed to start with, that he did not trust God. But God says little things mean a lot. And God can take the least one and do wonders with him. But you see what I see in that. They could not see the enemy. The Midianites didn't know what was up there until the light broke through. But the light could not break through until they broke that vessel. Would you turn in your Bible? We're coming to a close. I want to show you something here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to say something to you, dear friend. You'll never be a vessel that's pleasing God and able to do what God tells you to do until you've been broken. You've got to be broken. Jesus did not feed his disciples without breaking the bread. A picture there. Breaking the bread first, and then they would eat it. When I say broken, my mind goes back to the day I'd plow an old mule. We had somehow or another, we got a horse one time. It It was never broke. We tied that, we tried to get gear on him. He kicked and snorted, and we finally would catch him and put him to plow, and he'd run away, and you couldn't catch him then, and all that sort of stuff. And they just like a lost person that does not want to be told what to do, when to do, how to do it, and all like that. You've got to be broke if you're going to live for the Lord and serve Him. But I got news for you. The Holy Spirit of God breaks you when you get saved. That old nature in you has come to a halt for the time being, because as long as you don't want Him, God won't come in. But if the Holy Spirit makes it known unto you without a doubt that you're a sinner, you're on the road to hell, you can't save yourself no matter what you try to do, until then, you've not been broken. But when the Holy Spirit does that and shows you and proves that to you, and you're willing to say, yes, I'm lost, I want to be saved, and He comes into your heart and you trust Him, you're broken. No, that don't mean you won't ever rebel. Oh, no. But you're broken right then to the point. You know that what God says is true. And you know that He'll help you along the way. Now watch this verse of Scripture here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see what that is? You know what that treasure is? That's this body right here. This body is God's treasure. He created us out of dirt, did He not? Our man, the first man. He let us be born through all of that. And Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 said we're going back to the dust where we come from. So God made a treasure from these bodies here that He claims. And this is what He said, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You're willing for that vessel, that earthen vessel, to be broken, God is ready to use you. And He certainly knows how to carry it from A to Z all the way through. But I hope we all can say that we live for the Lord. Didn't do all we could do, didn't all we were supposed to do. But we did have a desire to follow the Lord, and He understands when we're failures and all like that. Nobody's perfect. But thank God that He would look down. I think in the mornings sometimes I get to thinking about this. Why would Almighty God, the Creator of the universe and everything with it, the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus the Son of God, God the Holy One, all-powerful and all, why would He look down on somebody like me, somebody like you, somebody like you? Because He loves us. He made us for His glory. That's what the Bible says, for His honor. Did you know it's a great honor for God to look upon us and would accept us? You know how you got saved? God accepted you, Bruce, in Jesus. That's how you got in. He got us in Jesus. And He loves us today. Pray for one another. If you're saved, thank God for it. Praise Him. If you're filled with pride tonight, you need to start praying. God help me. Pride is a damnable thing. There's a difference in some kinds of pride. A man ought to take pride on his job to do the kind of work that would be good and pleases to the one he works for. That's pride there. That's a different kind. We ought to have pride in our heart in some things. But that pride that's damnable to us is what says, I am the best. I can do better than anybody else. He's not good as me. And all that sort of stuff. You know what I mean. Friend, if you're not saved, we'll close it out. When this invitation that we're going to sing, would you stop and think, If I died this very minute, where would I go? Where would I be this time tomorrow? Would I be in heaven or hell? If I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, am I pleasing the Lord? If the Lord were to call upon me for something, could I do it? Have you ever been driving down the road and God put somebody on your mind to go speak to? Did you go? That's what I'm talking about. Simple things like that. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you'd honor your word, take it and bless it and use it if thou would. Some soul in this building not saved, would you convince them of their condition and convince them, Lord, of that need of Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, the ones in this building, if there's any brokenhearted, help them tonight. Touch them, Lord. Console them, comfort them if thou will. Help us all to draw nigh to you, Lord, for we need you continuously, all the time, every breath and everything goes with it. And whatever you do, we'll try to thank you for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen. What number, Bill? Yes, Lord. Thank you so much for that. Have thine own way. If you sang that tonight and you really mean it, you might ought to look for a call tonight and tomorrow from the Lord. He may test you out for singing something, whether you mean it or don't mean it. You better be careful when you say, Lord, take me and use me the way you want me to. Better be careful. You just be sure that he can do it, and you're going to need him all the way through whatever he's called you for. Thank you for coming tonight. It's been a pleasure for me, and pray for your pastor and him. Bruce?